I have a wonderful text for you this morning, taken from that passage which Elder Cubasing read to us just now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. These words: "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves, get this, for God loves a hilarious giver." Now, if you are a visitor to Faith Church this morning, I want you to know that any member of this congregation will attest to the fact that I very rarely preach about money. You've just struck it tough this morning. But in November every year I preach a stewardship sermon, and this is it. But I address the subject today because on November the 19th, next Lord's Day, we will ask you as members and friends of this church to indicate how much you will promise God that you will give to His work for the year 1990. I think it's always well to remember that Jesus spoke a great deal about money. In fact, 16 of his 38 parables deal with money. The Bible has a great deal to say about prayer, 500 verses. It has a great deal to say about faith, another 500 verses. But more than 1,200 verses in the Bible are devoted to the subject of money and possessions. Now, either Jesus spoke too much about money, or we don't emphasize it enough. Do you know that in the Gospels, an amazing 1 out of every 10 verses, 288 of them in all, deals with the subject of money? That's kind of startling, isn't it? So let us give our close attention to this important subject of the stewardship of our possessions. Here at Faith Church, we adhere to a concept in Christian stewardship which we believe is most honoring to God. It is called faith promise. And I wish this morning to explain its meaning and its significance, especially for the benefit of the many new friends who have joined our fellowship in the last year or two. Faith promise allows us to promise God the amount He wants us to give, and then to exercise faith in Him to supply that amount plus the rest of all our needs for the coming year. Faith promise is not a system of pledges to the church, but is rather a promise only between you, the individual believer, and God Himself. No one will ever know what your promise is except God and yourself. You go to God in prayer saying, "Lord, what would you have me promise to give for your work?" And God puts into your mind and heart the amount that He wants you to give. And as He thus reveals to us individually or as a married couple the amount He desires us to trust Him for, He thereby gives us an opportunity to demonstrate our faith in Him and to allow Him to increase our faith in His ability to care for us in every possible way. Perhaps you have been in the habit of making a pledge by ascertaining your projected income for the year ahead and then determining what amount you should return to God. Now, all we do virtually simply takes a little mathematics and a little faith. All we do virtually is to commit a fraction of what we know we will be receiving as salary. But it is entirely different with a faith promise offering. I have to pray to ask God how much He would have me give and then trust Him for it. Month by month or week by week, I must go to Him in prayer and ask Him for the amount promised. I must wait upon Him until it comes in. And that is the offering that brings blessing. That is the offering that will increase our faith, because as God provides what may seem to us to be a staggering amount, our faith in His providing ability will increase. And we will praise Him for allowing us to be good stewards of what He has entrusted to us. Now, let us look at our faith promise card that you received through the mail. The left-hand section says, "My faith promise to God." My faith promise to God. Now, after prayer and careful reflection, you hear from God what He wants you to promise. And you circle that amount, or you write in a figure that isn't listed on the card, because after all, the card only goes up to $150 a week. Now, you don't sign your name to this section of the card. But we do ask you to tear off that section of the card and seal it in the envelope which was sent to you. And then next Lord's Day, November the 19th, please place this card in the envelope in the offering plate so that we may know how much our people are promising to give to the Lord. We will then be able to operate on a realistic budget. You understand that by doing it this way, we know that someone has made a faith promise of, say, $60 a week, but we don't have any idea who that person is. Now, at the right-hand side of the card, it says, "My faith promise to my church." And on this card, you will simply record your name and address to signify that you have, in fact, made a faith promise to God. Now, this will enable us to provide you with faith promise envelopes in which to place your weekly gift and to furnish you every quarter through our financial secretary with a record of what you have in fact given. We ask you also to place this section of the card in the offering plate along with your sealed envelope on next Lord's Day. There will therefore, you see, be no way in which your faith promise can be identified. But I beseech you, even if you forget to eat breakfast next Lord's Day morning, please don't forget to bring your faith promise cards to church as a very high act of Christian worship. Now, the middle section of this card you will retain as your record of what you have promised God. Circle or write in the amount. And I suggest that you use it as your Bible marker for the coming year. As you read through the Scriptures day by day, this card will mark your place, and it will also act as a constant reminder to you of your faith promise to the Lord. Now, I am reticent to tell you what we need for 1990, because I don't want you to give necessarily what you think your share of that amount ought to be. We don't deal in shares. You need to make a faith promise. We actually need about $350,000 to do what we want to do for the kingdom of God. And of course, 10 or 11% of what we receive will go to the support of missionary work around the world. The more we give, the more of God's work will get done. Now, the plain fact is, as Christians, we need to give. The Bible is so clear about this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a hilarious giver. Well, that's what the word actually is in the Greek. It's the word hilaros, H-I-L-A-R-O-S, from which by simple transliteration we get our English word hilarious. Tell me, do you give somewhat less than hilariously? Giving hilariously. Isn't that an exciting concept? You see, God owns everything you have. And until you understand that you are simply His steward, entrusted with the dispensing of what is His, you will never give hilariously. You'll never know the joy, the pure joy of giving to the Lord's work. I heard a preacher say many years ago that by the look on some people's faces when they are giving their offering, you wonder if they feel like singing the third stanza of the hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." You know how it goes? When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. Oh, you're sharp this morning. Now let's note what the Bible says about giving. How should you and I give? Number one, you should give what God tells you to give. That's the beauty of faith promise as I see it. No one from the church will ever come to your home and say, "Here is your pledge card, please sign here." You will never have anybody in the congregation ever know what you give in 1990, because we're not concerned about that. The minister doesn't know, the treasurer doesn't know, only the financial secretary knows what a person gives for the year, and she isn't even a member of our church. We believe that you should give what God tells you to give. Now, we also believe that God has given us some pretty clear advice about how we should give. As you know, the Old Testament explicitly lays down the principle of the tithe. That is to say, a person was required to give one-tenth of his or her income to the Lord. Now, I believe further that that is the minimum place a Christian ought to begin in asking God about how much he should give. Now, there is no stipulation in the New Testament that says a person is obliged to tithe, but surely if a pious Jew in Old Testament times was to give a tithe of what he earned to the Lord, can we, living this side of the cross, expect that we would give less than a good Jew? I believe that is where we ought to begin. Notice that in our order of service, we make provision for minimum and maximum giving. Did you realize that? We have an item in the bulletin that says, get it? The reception of what? Of tithes and offerings. Now, what are the offerings? They are what you give over and above your minimum, the tithe. The tithe is not a free will offering. It is simply what the Lord requires of us. The offering is that free will contribution that you make over and above the tithe. Now listen as the Lord speaks to us through Malachi his prophet. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. If you do, I will open up the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. Your crops will be large, for I will guard them from insects and plagues. Your grapes won't shrivel away before they ripen, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land sparkling with happiness. Isn't that tremendous? These are the promises of the Lord of hosts. My friends, God will reward you in so many ways if you are faithful to Him in this matter of the tithes and the offerings. God honors those who honor Him. Now that doesn't mean that you'll run around in a Cadillac or that you'll never experience heartache or sorrow or disappointment as the health and wealth heretics proclaim. But I have seen over the years that as people have given what God told them to give, the results have been absolutely phenomenal. If we had time to go around this congregation and talk to the tithers, we would hear exciting stories concerning the goodness and the faithfulness of God. When people give what God wants them to give, things really begin to happen in them and to them and to the church. That's the key. What should we give? We should give whatever it is that God tells us to give. And then secondly, you should give in order to honor God. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Now to honor means to give preeminence to glorify, to put someone in first place. Now I think that is an important concept to understand. We need to put Christ first in our lives, and one of the best ways to do that is to be faithful to God with regard to our giving. We give what He tells us to give, and then we move ahead in our stewardship with great joy. Now, I'm not saying that you buy your salvation. Please don't ever say that I said that. I would never say that. Salvation is by grace alone. But you know, what we really give indicates what we think is really important in our lives. It really demonstrates whether we are giving preeminence to the Lord or not. And I believe that if we give at least a tenth, we are honoring the Lord because we are doing what the Bible says is the minimum of what we should be doing. We give as Christians in order to give glory and honor to Christ, who has saved us and kept us and provided so richly for us by His grace. He is the one who must have the preeminence. And then thirdly and finally, you and I should give
off the top. Off the top. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all you produce. Now that term, first fruits, is an Old Testament term, and it simply means that a faithful Jew would give to God the very best of his increase. He would give to God the first and the best of his flocks and his herds and his crops. And then he trusted that God would bring to fruition all the rest of his livestock and his produce. Having done what God asked him to do, he rested in the joyful assurance that God would then meet all his needs and the needs of his family. For Proverbs 3:9 goes on to say, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your produce, that your barns will be filled with plenty. You see, God will never be anybody's debtor. Honor him, and he will honor you. So always skim that tithe off the top and set it aside before any other commitments are dealt with. In faith promise giving, we ask God how much we should give, and then we promise him that we will give that much money off the top, trusting that as we do that, he will also provide an adequate amount to sustain us and our family every day of the year with regard to our daily needs. And so on November the 19th, next Lord's Day, you will bring your two cards, one of which will be in a sealed envelope and the other will bear your name. But we will not know how much you have promised to give, but it's important that you write down your name, for that releases your faith, so to speak. It is relatively easy to say, I know God will meet my needs. But when you append your name, you are really saying to God and to yourself, not only do I know that God will enable me to meet my commitment to him, but I'm going to write it down to release my faith, to show that I not only believe it, but that I'm sure that God will enable me to fulfill that commitment made in faith. But, says someone, surely God would expect me to pay my bills first and then give to God from what is left over. Well, all I can say is this. We do not honor God by that kind of an attitude. My friend, where would you be if God were to bless you only in that cautious kind of way? Suppose you were invited to someone's home for dinner, and they said, you know, we're just giving you the leftovers from yesterday's evening meal. How would you feel? You wouldn't feel very honored, would you? And God isn't honored, my friend, when you give him the leftovers. Incidentally, some people think that it's harder to tithe when you're living on a small income than when you have a handsome salary. But I'm not so sure about that, and for this reason. When we become more and more successful and money amounts get larger, then a person is sorely tempted to think, well now, that tithe is an awful lot of money. Surely God doesn't need all that much of my income. Suppose you earn $40,000 a year. Your tithe is $4,000. That's about $80 a week. And those are big bucks. And it blows your mind when you think about making that kind of a commitment. And so we begin to hold out on God. Or as Malachi bluntly says, we rob God.
Now that's strong language, but it's not my language, my friends. It's the language of the Word of God. I'm simply telling you what God is saying. Let me tell you this. If the thought of giving your tithes and offerings to the Lord blows your mind, just try to imagine the untold blessings of one sort or another that God will bestow upon you if you go all the way with Him in obedient and loving commitment. There is something to really blow your mind. So God expects us to give what He tells us to give. He tells us to honor Him, to put Him first in everything, and to give Him the first fruits of our labors. The first check you write each pay period should be to the Lord. Put Him first. Trust Him to provide all that you need for your life and your living. The tither always discovers, to his joyful amazement, that God gives you the wisdom, get this, God gives you the wisdom to use the remaining 9/10 in such a way that it goes farther and accomplishes more than the 10/10 would ever have done. Indeed, I believe this, that you will never, never, never experience financial freedom until the Lord gets the first share of your income. I'm sure of that. And so the Word of God rings challengingly and insistently in our ears. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously, for God loves a hilarious giver. My friends, may there be a great deal of hilarity in our service next Lord's Day morning. Now let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, take this word of yours and through it challenge us to a closer walk with you, to a deeper commitment in faith and service. Lord, help us to realize afresh how we are stewards of our time, our talents, and our treasure. And grant, Lord, that we may so comport ourselves in the service of your kingdom, that this work in Faith Church and around the world may go on from strength to strength to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.